The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. You know, Eric, by the way, he's Eric Harley, I'm Gary McNamara. Sorry, we got so many things going on here. Mm-hmm. but on this whole thing about, McCabe and the 60 Minutes interview, the Washington Examiner talks about it here. Says, in particular, intensifies the questions about Rosenstein's behavior in those 8 days. Remember that Rosenstein played a key role in the removal of Comey. A few days later, he was talking about removing the president for having removed Comey. The sheer audacity of that has stunned even experienced Capitol Hill observers. The guy who wrote the memo providing the justification for firing Comey is then upset that the swamp is mad at him for helping fire Comey and then comes up with a plan to wear a wire and invoke the 25th Amendment? I mean, this is just so it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just, this is, and McCabe's up there, talking, and you have, the liberal press saying, oh, yep. People who hate Trump are listening to this, and yep, they had concerns about Trump, so they talked about invoking the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Based on what?
By the way, what you just, right there, and pointing that out from the Washington Examiner, adds to your theory of them floating this, getting this out as soon as possible, because they know that, some information will come out, and basically they're trying to re-spin this. Well, you can't rewrite history. All of this stuff is well documented. It really is bizarre when you think about it.
Well, and then go a step further. Rosenstein was in charge of the Mueller investigation.
Right. He's the one that wrote the memo. He assigned Mueller because Jeff Sessions, the then attorney general, recused himself.
Yeah. This reads better than any type of drama you could ever come up with. Oh, the West Wing. Yeah, compared to, But when you see this, it all comes down, and that's what you have to do with all these stories. You got to cut through all the crap. Excuse my language, but in my 30 years, and I'll say this, in my 45 years, really, of paying attention to politics, really paying attention, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I don't use words like coup. You know that if you listen to this show, we always push down any over-the-top rhetoric. Look, stop it. That's not what's going on. Whatever. You tell me how else to look at it. Unless you can provide me the evidence, don't say, well, that shows you how worried they were. Worried based on what? What evidence?
These aren't politicians. These are supposed to be seasoned investigators to the point that they are the best of the best.
Right.
And on top of that,
at analyzing evidence, right?
And on top of that, at the very top, former prosecutors.
Yep.
People who know the process up, down, left, right, east, west, north, south. And when you talk about an investigation, when you say, well, when McCabe brags about he's the one that launched the obstruction investigation, you launched it based on what?
Based on what?
Because what he's trying to tell you is, I wanted to lay the groundwork just in case someone from the administration, came in. And I don't know. I'm asking a question here. What do you think? Because we said it then. There were plenty of liberals that were saying, well, no, this is obstruction. No, obstruction would be as if they, after firing Comey, Trump sent in people from his administration went in to the Justice Department, took a bunch of files, the investigation itself, any investigation itself, and then shredded those files and shredded evidence that might harm him legally. That would be obstruction. Firing, just firing, right. Comey is not.
Next question.
Right.
then you knew those papers or those files had something.
Right.
What did they have?
What did they contain?
What would have Trump destroyed? Because if you're a seasoned investigator, that's what you're afraid of. We've got the evidence right here. Yeah. The evidence exists right here. We're afraid that Trump will appoint somebody who will come in and destroy, if that's what you're concerned about.
Right.
Because that would be then the obstruction of justice, that he's getting rid of Comey so he can put his own guy in there to destroy this evidence. What evidence? If there was evidence, we'd know about it by now, would we not?
And why the discussion of wearing a wire? Look at everything that's happened. Look at it and the Trump Tower meeting with Veselnitskaya and Trump Jr. We talked about, okay, the emails, and Trump Jr. really, he didn't hide the emails. He said, no, this is, we were told that we might get some dirt on Hillary. There was really no big deal there if you think about it. And that wouldn't be illegal even if they did discuss dirt on Hillary. But they discussed adoption, right? Russian adoption. And he was like, okay, well, after a little while, it was like the meeting was over and nothing really happened. So what does that reek of? A setup. So why would you talk about a top-level Department of Justice official wearing a wire for a setup? What this reeks of is a massive, massive, desperate, once again, one more arm of a desperate attempt to remove a president they simply did not like.
When they were discussing to me, unless you can provide to me the evidence that would show, because if they had evidence to show that the president was conspiring with the Russians, was involved in a conspiracy to commit fraud in an election time, and you had the evidence to support that, at that point, number one, you wouldn't be talking about removal from office at that point.
No.
You'd first be talking about the criminal charges and how to bring the criminal charges, and then you would be talking to probably different politicians and saying, look, here's some of the evidence that we have here, or you'd be going, you wouldn't be doing what they did. This is the whole point. We didn't sit there and say, here's the evidence that we have now. This is the evidence that we know that the president committed espionage. The president was involved in a conspiracy with the Russians to hack the election, which means in a conspiracy with the Russians to defraud a presidential election and put himself in power. All right. So you'd be discussing that evidence first, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have this evidence, so we need you to wear a wire. We have this evidence, so we need to discuss the 25th Amendment and the fact of how do we bring this up and how do we get this information out? What is the information? Is 60 Minutes going to ask that question? What is the evidence that you had where you were talking about removing the president? Because if you can't tell me what that evidence is and it isn't solid, then you were discussing how to arrange a coup.
Yes.
Somebody tell me, where are we wrong on following this line of thinking?
Because it is, at that point, pure political motivation. Nothing more, nothing less.
We don't like the guy.
Right. She didn't win.
Yeah. We don't like the guy. She didn't win. We don't like the guy. He must be sleazy. Here's one for you.
Mm.
There's no way Trump could win legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that Hillary lost that many votes.
Right.
Trump had to do something in order to do this. We don't have the evidence, but we need to keep the fishing. We need to keep fishing here because there's no way that Trump could have beat Hillary. Look, she was up in the polls. Look what she was up in the polls a month before. There's no way. Therefore, Trump had to do something wrong. Therefore, we need to discuss removing him from office because there's no way he could have won.
Right.
Tell me what other evidence besides that there was.
Right.
They already knew by May of 17, they knew that the dossier was bogus.
Right.
They couldn't verify it. They knew. It was just as much scuttlebutt as anything else that is thrown out in... Does the Weekly World News still exist? Or the Inquirer or questioning anything? It's rumor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just rumor. It's all it is.
Right.
It's people yapping. That's all.
Well, the greatest of conspiracies, or conspiracy theories, rather, all start with the emotion it couldn't possibly have happened that way. And we've talked about whether it's the inability of a group of individuals to believe that people could do such a thing, or that such a thing could actually happen, or what it typically starts from that, whether it's the 9/11 conspiracies, conspiracy theories, or anything else. That it there's no way that could have happened the way that it did. And with the election, it actually started that night into the following morning inside the Hillary campaign headquarters in New York, where, according to reports and many accounts by the media, she threw a fit, then admittedly went home and laid on the couch for a long time after the election, and she was sulking. That disbelief that he could ever possibly win, and all of a sudden he wins. It can't be true. We've got to prove that it didn't happen that way. There must have been something that happened that forced this square peg into this round hole. There is no way that this actually happened legitimately.
Because we can only ask one thing. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence to be discussing removing the president from office? Where's the evidence?
Because that's
the firing of Comey?
Right.
All right. Well, we might put somebody else in there and destroy evidence. What's the evidence that you have? You're the head of the FBI. You know what the evidence is.
Right.
Well, there's no evidence today that exists.
Right.
What do you actually have that shows, you know, what led to all of this? And what led to all of it was the dossier that came from the Democrats.
And we know from Bruce Orr's testimony what? That he had already told people that, hey,
yeah,
this isn't solid information yet. Months later, well, in his case, weeks later, they used it to petition the FISA court for a warrant and got that warrant. And keep in mind, that was the second time that they had petitioned for that same warrant. And the main difference in that second petition was the dossier itself.
And remember, it was August of 2017. This is August of 2016.
Right.
Where he said, guys, we have no idea whether any of this is true or not. You can't go with this. You need something else. They went with it.
They did.
And then in May of 2017, tell me what other additional evidence that has ever been reported that he has reported, that he has stated that they had to show that Trump possibly might have been committing obstruction of justice. Based on what? What was the crime?
And I'll play Marco Rubio here. When he was talking about all the things, remember the fact that the president himself was never a target of the investigation? Remember Lester Holt in the interview with the president? And it was the rapid-fire questioning. And Trump said, yeah, three times. He told me three times. And then on Capitol Hill, Comey himself testified and said, no, I told him three times he was not the target. And then Marco Rubio said, well, out of all the things that leaked, right, that's the one thing that didn't leak. Well, what's actually bigger than that that hasn't leaked about this case? The crime itself.
Yeah, the crime itself has never, ever leaked. And here's the thing about Rosenstein, though. You know, because now, look, now you sit there and you can say, wow, what a conspiracy theory that they were trying to. You know, if somebody said this a year ago, there was a conspiracy to get Trump out of office. Mm-hmm. There was a political conspiracy to get a coup done based on false information.
Right.
You talk about a setup, because you think about this, because tell me where the logical thing is here, as has been brought up. Rosenstein wrote the memo justifying the firing of Comey.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the one that was considering wearing a wire to go in to try to set up the president.
Right.
Does that, or trying to get information, whatever they were trying to do.
Right.
Does that almost sound like a setup?
Yes. Yes.
Because
on the surface, you're playing like you're going along. Oh, yeah. I recommend that you fire Comey. But behind the scenes, behind closed doors, and according to McCabe now, this was not jokingly that he said
it. A political bait and switch?
Right. That Rosenstein was seriously discussing wearing a wire. Remember, it had come out, and it was like, oh, no. He was laughing. That was just a joke. Well, if you hear what McCabe is going to say in this interview that will air Sunday, according to the reports from that, it wasn't a joke. They were actually having a discussion about it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
You may not be able to predict blizzards and ice storms, but that doesn't mean your truck has to be a victim to old man winter. Make sure your rig is ready to handle any last-minute storms by routinely inspecting your fuel system. Winter weather not only impacts your fuel, it also impacts your fuel's filtration system. The combination of cold winter air and warm fuel from your engine can result in condensation. In freezing temperatures, this moisture can crystallize and clog your filters, corrode injectors, and do other damage to the fuel system. To help prevent fuel system breakdowns from occurring, drain your fuel water separator and change the fuel filters regularly. If you're not comfortable maintaining your own fuel system, stop by a TA truck service location near you and put our technicians to the test.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio, he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, we'll get to some of your calls and comments. We've discussed a lot today, so much going on. Everything from the president later on today will sign the budget border wall bill, whatever you are, border lack of wall bill, 55-mile wall, fence, barrier,
slat.
Ben has said that he will call for a national emergency. We've gone through all the possible different legal scenarios that will happen because of that. Andrew McCabe will be on 60 Minutes this weekend. Some of the excerpts coming out of that, and it's pretty mind-boggling because right. He seems to be pretty cocky and sort of bragging about it, and we're shaking our heads going, my God, does he know what he's saying? Because the one thing is, it all comes down to the fact that what he said was, yeah, the upper levels of the FBI discussed, after he fired Comey, discussed the 25th Amendment and the removal of the president, how they would be able to convince the cabinet to remove the president. And as we said, based on what? What was the crime? Think about this. All the stuff that's still going on, all the leaking that was done, all the accusations, against the president. Now we know the discussion of, you know, removing him from office, putting a wire on Rosenstein. For what crime?
Right.
Nobody can identify still the crime, and all these things were happening, and the left is okay with it. It's okay. They can fish. The FBI can fish.
Yes.
They can fish. They can do things like discussing removal of the president. It's okay because it's Trump, even if he's done nothing wrong.
Right.
Because remember, the impeachment that they're talking about, we need to impeach him on what? Because he's Trump.
Right. And now what are they all doing now that they've all been fired? They're all writing books. They're becoming the hero that the left believes they are. And it's really disturbing on so many levels here, because it doesn't matter who you voted for, which side you support. But see, that's for critical thinkers. That mentality no longer exists on the far left and with the activists. You know, we go back to the late Ed Schultz, who said it one time. Doesn't matter. Do everything, anything you have to do to win. And this kind of behavior, if they're willing to conduct themselves this way with someone who is very high profile, who was a candidate, nominee, and then eventually a president, then who wouldn't be a target if they just simply had any kind of motivation to harm that individual in any way? If you're getting too much attention because you're politically motivated, could you be a target of someone like this? Yep. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Exposing BS Nightly. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. And the other breaking news overnight, this from ABC7 in Chicago. Chicago police confirmed Thursday night that detectives are talking to two persons of interest in connection with the alleged attack on Empire actor Jussie Smollett. Multiple sources have told ABC7 that police are investigating whether Smollett and the two men staged the attack, allegedly because Smollett was being written off Empire. A source familiar with the investigation told ABC that Smollett failed to appear for an interview with detectives on Thursday, but has since spoken with police. The Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson contacted ABC to say they are continuing to treat Smollett as a victim and the investigation remains ongoing. Chicago police told ABC News, quote, police are investigating whether the two individuals committed the attack or whether the attack happened at all, end of quote. That is a quote. Smollett released a statement Thursday evening saying, today, Jussie did answer routine follow-up questions for the Chicago Police Department and continues to cooperate. Smollett's representatives said he is not being written off Empire. 20th Century Fox and Fox Entertainment released a statement saying the idea that Jussie Smollett has been or would be written off of Empire is patently ridiculous. He remains a core player on a very successful series, and we continue to stand behind him. A law enforcement official told ABC News that the homes of the persons of interest were raided on Wednesday night. Police removed shoes, electronic devices, and other items they believe could help them determine if the two people played any role in the assault. Neighbors described a swarm of officers and canine units. I was walking in an alley. One police car stopped in the alley. They told me to go. They told me to go inside the house. But then, maybe 5 minutes later, there were like 20 police here, right by the door. The neighbor said they believe the men, who are Nigerian, are brothers who grew up in that apartment and have lived there for years. Neighbors described them as friendly and possible bodybuilders, and said they have long wanted to be actors. Chicago police said they cannot confirm any of those reports. Earlier, police said the two persons of interest are not suspects and have not been charged. Investigators are only talking to them at the time. The two were picked up Wednesday night at O'Hare International Airport.
Also, the story came out, you know, in relation to them, you know, being aspiring actors, that at least one of them had been an extra on the show Empire. But I haven't seen any confirmation from Fox on that. Because we don't know the names of the individuals. We couldn't, like, search an IMDb database or anything like that. So I don't know of any confirmation by officials or by 20th Century Fox, the producers of Empire, that at least one of those persons is someone who's appeared on the show.
Yeah.
So,
seen that too, a variety of reports. And this new piece of information out there, they say Thursday night police said phone records provided by Smollett do show he was on the phone with his manager at
right.
the time of the attack.
Yes. Now I guess they would look at if they're this theory going that the two men whose home was raided and the actor were conspiring to make this, to stage this whole
stage
thing.
To stage it, and that might have been
the,
part of
the only stage. Thing that it, if that were, if they believe that, if authorities, if police actually do believe that, what you would look at is the phone records to see if there's been any contact. And by the way, again, electronics was mentioned in terms of things that were taken from the house or taken from their apartment. Along with bleach and shoes and other things, they would look to see if there's any line of communication. Now, if it's a one-way communication and an individual is stalking an actor, then that would be one thing. If there's communication back and forth and you're able to get the content of those communications, emails or text messages or something else, then that could spell something different. But we, again, this is going on sourced stories, and this is from, there are two different affiliates, news affiliates in Chicago. One's an ABC affiliate, ABC 7, and then CBS 2 in Chicago, also reporting essentially the same thing, that their sources are saying that there's an investigation as to whether or not it happened at all.
I believe the
the police, by the way, have said, have told the local stations that they cannot confirm any of these stories that are, you know, any of these theories that are going on, these sourced stories from the local.
Right.
We only bring you what those two sources or what those two news departments are reporting. So.
And the CBS, one of the CBS reporters was one of the first ones that was saying that the sources were suspicious of the story early on.
Right.
So we'll.
They'll know soon enough. I mean, they'll know with it, because if there were this conspiracy, if they did stage this, then it's likely one of those two individuals that was a part of it is, if you're threatened with jail time, you're going to fess up. So if that happened, there's a decent chance that you could know that very soon in the next few days, in fact, because it seems like there's been a lot of movement on this case. Well, it doesn't seem like. There has been a lot of movement on this case in the last 24 to 36 hours.
Let's head to you. Let's go to Gary in Charlotte, North Carolina, about Andrew McCabe and the statement, the interview he's doing with 60 Minutes. Hi, Gary. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning, Gary. Eric, Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
You know, most of the time, I consider you two guys to be the voice of reason in the night. But I got to tell you, tonight, y'all got my head hurting because I'm kind of confused. So I'm gonna try and run through this, you know, like a rapper spitting bars as quick as I can and get it out there. So if I have this understood straight, the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign conspired and colluded with the FBI and the entire DOJ, along with Simpson GPS and Christopher Steele, a known former MI6 agent who had known ties in Russia, conspired together, all collectively, to try and build up a fake dossier. Oh, and by the way, I do recall that John McCain got his hands on that dossier, and he tried to run it for it to say that Trump was colluding with the Russians.
Wait. We have never said that.
Because
you're saying that you're making it sound like everybody was involved in the conspiracy from day one, and everybody knew what everybody else was doing, and that's not how we have portrayed it, and I don't believe that anybody has portrayed it that way. What we have stated is that the Hillary campaign and the DNC are the ones that paid the money early on to the Simpson or to Perkins Coie, the law firm, who then funneled that money to
Fusion
GPS, who then gave the money to Christopher Steele, who then went and got, and he was a known hater of Trump, and was very vocal about it, and went and got information from the Russians, which turned out to be unverified, and according to Michael Isakoff, who wrote one of the stories for the story for Yahoo on the whole thing early on, mostly false. Now, that was an interview he did just in the last 2 months. Took that information and tried to use that to destroy the legitimacy of a presidential election, both by getting that out to the public and starting the narrative that he colluded with the Russians to hack the election. That information was also used. To what degree, we're not sure yet, but we know it was a major portion in getting a secret FISA warrant in order to spy on the Trump campaign. Now, what's going on today is we're talking about Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI, who said to 60 Minutes that he and other top officials of the FBI and the Department of Justice met and discussed removing Trump from office, you know, the discussion of removing by using the 25th Amendment and getting his cabinet to remove him from office, and also discussed with Rod Rosenstein, the assistant at that time he was the assistant deputy director.
Well, under McCabe, he would have been the
in
deputy.
May of 17.
In May, before Comey was fired?
Rosenstein's with the Department of Justice.
Right.
Not the FBI.
Right. Before, I guess.
He would have been deputy. He would have been.
Deputy.
He would have been
at that point.
Deputy,
yes,
AG yes, at that yes. time. That that they had discussed wiring him
right.
to talk to Trump after right. he had written the memo saying that Comey should be fired.
Right.
So our point was, if they were discussing, you're trying to combine it all together, those guys right there were discussing, were involved with the DNC and the Hillary campaign early on, and they were all together from the very beginning way back then, and there is no evidence of that.
And nobody has said that they were doing that. The only thing that McCabe right. is talking about is the discussions that they were having
right.
inside the FBI and with a few others about invoking the 25th Amendment.
Yeah, and we're still the voice of reason because we're simply telling you what's being told to the media.
Well, those are the known facts.
Right, those are the known
facts. Based on testimony, right. based right. on interviews and everything else, and documents,
right.
court
and,
documents.
And the only thing that you could say, that you could state, well, you guys have an opinion there that's a little whacked off,
mm-hmm.
calling it a coup, we're simply saying this.
Mm-hmm.
We said, as we said, they were discussing a coup.
Right.
Because unless they can prove that there was evidence, unless they can show me what the evidence was as seasoned investigators
mm-hmm.
that showed a specific crime
right.
to collude with the Russians to commit unbelievable fraud in a presidential election and steal a presidential election, and they didn't have that evidence, and they've never presented that evidence, then they were discussing a coup.
Right.
Might have been a peaceful coup. It was still a coup. Because yeah. it was based on nothing, no type of legitimate, credible criminal evidence against the president. None.
Right.
And I wonder if that will come up at all in the whole discussion with 60 Minutes. If it doesn't, they haven't done their job.
Well, someone who is certainly wants it to come up in conversation is Lindsey Graham, tweeting about McCabe. You know, he's the chairman of yep. the Senate Judiciary Committee now, and he tweets, after Mr. McCabe's 60 Minutes interview, it's imperative that he and others come before the Senate Judiciary Committee to fully explain how, what, and why a FISA warrant was issued against Carter Page, and answer questions about what appears to be, now more than ever, bias against President Trump. That's a tweet from Lindsey Graham yesterday, on Thursday. So we talked about this with Comey and his book. Again, they talk about it in interviews, even to an extent during testimony a couple of times. Comey sounded like he was bragging.
Well,
then you look at Peter Strzok. I thought he was at one point going to stand up and put on his Superman cape.
They're extremely indignant because they are trying to portray that the way that they were acting is standard operating procedure for a member of the senior FBI management or the Department of Justice.
Yes, as Hillary would put it, they're acting as if it were allowed and above board.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. What a crazy week it's been. You think about it, you know, starting out with the Green Deal. By the time we get to the end of the week, Ocasio-Cortez is cheering because Amazon won't be going to New York. She's going to be going now on a 15-city tour, apparently, to promote the Green New Deal.
She's bicycling, right?
you had Beto O'Rourke, who got in the conversation stating that the wall should come down, that we should be tearing down the wall, asked about, not San Antonio, El Paso, mm-hmm. and talked about that he'd be for the wall coming down. So he's out there promoting open borders. You've got the McCabe thing that is just completely and totally insane. I'm telling you right now, the fringe of the Democrats is just this. It's just mind-boggling. Not the fringe, but fringe, which is becoming the mainstream.
Right, and that's part of it. This isn't like a group of protesters. These are people holding elected office, or at one time were at a very high level in the Department of Justice at the FBI. It is bizarre and never boring.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you so much for being here. Well, in the news today,
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump, and he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time. And I've indicated to him that I'm going to support the national emergency declaration.
So good. That's all over. Now we can pay attention. The pitchers and catchers are in, and baseball season begins, and we can forget all about politics now.
Right, right.
Because everything has been solved, and we can move on.
Right. All right. We're done.
we've had a great discussion of what will happen after this and what possibly, might be the legal justification that the White House will give to fight for the national emergency in court, and, mm-hmm. and we're not sure what that's going to be. So
right,
we will see. We've had a lot of passionate calls on it, but now it's really it will be in the courts, and we'll see where it goes. And there's a number of different scenarios. We've had fun speculating, and that's all we can do, because until you see what legal justification the White House gives for it, you really don't
right.
know where to go.
We're going to have to see what's in it before we talk about it.
Like they don't the actual legislation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if he'll do that today, or if he'll just announce that he's going to do that today, and then do it here in a few days when they get all of the wording done. I wonder if it's something that they've been you actually don't have to wonder. They've been talking about it for a while. Getting the wording right is going to be everything. And so it will be interesting to read the actual declaration itself to see what it says and the justification, because you can, from that, if you're somebody who supports the president or not, if you're just somebody who likes to follow along, you'll be able to probably pull out from that what the challenges will be. Although some of the more liberal judges on federal benches have come up with really odd and just grabbing things out of the sky kind of reasoning when it comes to challenging moves by this administration. So we'll see when that happens.
And after sitting here for years talking about where is Amazon going to go, we found out where they're going to go, and one of those places was New York City, and there was great celebration until a young congressperson heard about this and spoke out about it and said, no, don't like it. And then there were more questions from state representatives. And finally, yesterday, Amazon says, we're out of New York City. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it out of in the New York City area. We're out. We're gone. sorry, $3 billion in subsidies is not enough if we have to deal with your politicians.
You guys are so crazy. You're crazier than $3 billion free dollars.
Here's Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez yesterday celebrating the fact and looking at it. And as she tweeted out, they defeated the richest man in the world, corporate greed, Amazon. So she was very happy.
We can create 25,000 jobs with mom and pops. We can create 25,000 jobs with companies that are willing to come to the table. But we should not be giving away our infrastructure, our subway system, our schools, our teacher salaries, our firefighters' budgets to a company that has not shown good faith to New Yorkers. And we can ask for more because we deserve more.
Here's Mayor Bill de Blasio.
What I don't get is we made an agreement with them. They chose New York City. We were kept keeping the agreement. Guess what? Some community activists wanted to see something else. They wanted changes or they had differences. That's part of life.
But it's not part of the agreement. He points out, we had an agreement, and then others wanted to change the agreement, and then they just decided that they didn't want to. Man, are you listening to what you're saying?
Well, the Wall Street Journal was talking about the promise to unionize, which, if that was the case for Amazon, they were like, bye.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, because that's, de Blasio was big on that, and he said he's going to be the champion for that cause. He's going to, you know, try and force them to unionize. Well, no, that's not worth it. Look, you know, liberalism really bites at times. And think about it. All of the players here, all of the main players are all liberals on both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're just sitting back. We're just sitting back observing.
My popcorn arrived yesterday.
Well, and look, you and I have said it. And when I was a local talk show host, believe me, I took to task some of the economic development agencies when they would give incredible tax breaks to companies. But I always looked at it this way. I said, look, if you're talking about you're an economic development agency and you're looking to give tax abatements, a lot of times it's property taxes. You know, the local property taxes they'll give you the tax abatement on for a certain number of years if – you know, you do certain things and you agree, hey, you're going to be hiring 500 people, whatever.
Right.
Clearly, I mean, there are times when I've looked at different situations and said, they're not going to be able to deliver on this. They're not going to be able to deliver. And the reason that if you are part of an economic development agency and working in cooperation with the local governments to do what? I mean, what are you trying to do? You're trying to bring the company in, but you're trying to give tax abatements on one end so you can get the tax money on the other end, which is the people that work at the company, the businesses that will be coming in, the jobs that will be created. But it's not just the jobs, because you as an entity, you know, jobs, a job is there. What does a job mean? A job doesn't mean anything unless they're living in my town and spending in my town. And then at that particular point, we can, you know, reap the benefits, whatever the algorithm is to figure it out. And they put it all together and they say this would be net beneficial to have this company in our town. And so, again, you can look at some of the things that Amazon was getting. And I'm sure if you went through it, and believe me, I don't think I'd ever have the time to go through $3 billion in different subsidies that you have received. But somebody has. And I know New York is bad at doing it. I know for a fact New York is bad at doing it. Why? Because whenever I'll be back in a few hours visiting my parents, and the state of New York is already on Tesla's case because they built them, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars they've spent to build them, you know, this whole, you know, solar, it was the what is it, the subsidiary of Tesla, I can't think of their name, Solar City, is it?
Is that it? Yeah,
Burns says, you know, yes. This huge, huge, I mean, they spent almost probably, you know, I'm going to guess maybe $700-800 million, right, and the promises of 3,000-4,000 jobs. They couldn't deliver on that. And I remember when they were building it, I said, and people I know said, they're never going to be able to deliver on it. You're talking about solar panels. Are you not paying attention to fracking? Alternative energy is not going to boom in this country. You shouldn't be giving this type of money away,
right,
to a company. So I understand, believe me, I understand that completely. Mm-hmm. I also understand that Amazon is in a unique position, and Amazon creates, irrespective of what you think of their leader.
Right.
They create good jobs. One of my best friends' his daughter, in fact, I showed you the video that she was in the other day for a marketing. She got a great job. She's in her 30s in Seattle, but great, great, great job.
Right.
They produce some great jobs. We're talking about the jobs that just, you know, that we're not talking about the, you know, the ones that are maybe just on the line, but we're talking about what they were going to do in the headquarters there, which were 25,000. These aren't the production, necessarily the production line people. These are the white collar workers.
Right.
And they make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
They make good money that they can put back into the community. Now, whether 25,000 jobs are and the tax base that it would create was worth $3 billion in subsidies to New York and the state of New York, I don't know. Whenever New York's involved in it, I've seen it. Based on the example of when I lived there, when I was a talk show host there, and just what they've been doing lately, the money they've been throwing around, and I believe just throwing down the toilet, I would have my doubts.
Well, and you look at the because then you would ask, okay, but why would they do something like that? Well, the governor and the mayor would look at that and say that's a crown jewel, because it may be the lost leader, like that any retail establishment might have.
Right.
Look,
right.
we're gonna bring them in because they're the crown jewel. We can then from that we can campaign for other corporations to move here. Look, Amazon chose us. You should choose us too. And you try and make up for it in other ways. But politically, this is something that elevates Ocasio-Cortez. This is something that is a win, because she, from day one, and you can disagree with her all day long, but it is a win in her column. And she didn't even need to take them to court. She didn't need to do anything but make noise. The reason I bring that up is because I go back to the Kavanaugh thing and the activist who caught up with Jeff Flake in the elevator. They recorded that, and then all of a sudden Jeff Flake had a change of heart. She made a lot of noise in New York about this, made a lot of noise everywhere about this, but for her district, and you know that was her district.
And you had state legislatures at that point, and city council people all jump on and say,
on the national level, locally, a ton of other people.
Yes.
But on the national level,
she was a catalyst.
She's the one making all the noise, and she got the response that she wanted out of Amazon, just like they got the response out of Jeff Flake that day in the elevator.
Yep.
When they are empowered like that, they believe that they're on the right track. And this is going to be, this is going to be their MO. Not that she wasn't going to do this if they didn't back down, but certainly this gives her a great deal of power.
Well, but the other thing is it beneficial to New York overall when you look at the what they ended up with? Because as the Wall Street Journal pointed out, that the states like New York and California have to promise a ton more in subsidies than anybody else. Why? Because of their regulation, their high tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the great point. They said, Amazon, escape from New York. But they said even $3 billion in subsidies, they finally said, it's not worth it. Even with $3 billion in subsidies, we'll take it elsewhere. And you know something? Maybe it was a dumb idea to promote this. Let's just be quiet and we'll work with different communities and see if we can get a better deal. But think about it. Even they probably had to start doing the figuring and said, look, if we're going to be forced to go union, if they're going to be all over us about union, if they're going to be regulating us and they're going to be saying we've got to do this and we've got to do this and we've got to we are going to have a media political nightmare on our hands if we stay here, that it's just not worth it.
Right.
We can go to Texas. We can go to Tennessee. We can put, Nashville? Where do they end up?
I think it was Nashville.
We can go to other places.
Yeah, right.
And we can expand where we already are. We just expand where we already are, and we don't make a big deal out of it, and we're not going to have these crazy demands, what it actually does to New York. Ocasio-Cortez may view it as a victory, and it may be a political victory for her. It's not a victory for New York, because what you have just made known to every company is, wow, Amazon got $3 billion in subsidies and said, it's not worth the aggravation. It's not worth the regulation. It's not worth being targeted by, you know, by the politicians there. They will make it a media nightmare for us. And with social media today, Eric, I'm telling you, companies want to stay under the radar. They just want to go in. Yeah. They want to get a decent deal. They want to make a profit. They don't want to. The last thing they want to do is be on the radar of Ocasio-Cortez. So you tell me now that she's looking for any major corporation, that she views all corporations as greedy to begin with, and now that she is the catalyst in New York, they've already got more regulation and more taxes that companies wish to avoid them in the beginning, and now these companies are stating, oh, wow, we can't go to New York and get any right. type of decent subsidy right. anymore because right. it's going to be a media political nightmare. Texas, where are you?
Well,
Florida, where are you? Tennessee, where are you?
And you mentioned something earlier. I think it's worth repeating here in that better not publicize your bidding process anymore.
Yes.
Do that quietly. Because it doesn't matter where you are. If Ocasio-Cortez can speak up and get locals upset about it, there are plenty of other areas in this nation where the same thing can happen. Don't. And they said yesterday they have no plans right now to revive that bidding process. None at all. And for good reason, likely. Let's stay quiet and maybe we just expand the centers and headquarters right. that we already have.
866-90-RED-EYE.
For the most part, U.S. meat production and meat prices should remain up year over year, according to the Agriculture Department's latest look. Yet World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Seth Meyer notes changes from December, particularly in production.
We did trim production from our earlier expectations for broilers. While we do have growth year over year in beef production, we trimmed that growth a little bit. We also think that we've got lighter carcass weights coming in. On the hog side, we trimmed production a little bit. Hog and Pig Report suggested that we had lower farrowings and farrowing intentions for the last quarter of 2018 and for quarters 1 and 2 of 2019, and trimming a little bit on pigs per litter.
There were report-to-report price adjustments up for steers, broilers, and turkey based on demand. Broiler prices, however, are still forecasted to be down under a cent per pound in 2019, while hog prices year-over-year remain lower at $3.18 a hundredweight. I'm Rod Bade reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. A quick audio cut here from Travis Kaufman. He's the guy who wrestled, a mountain lion attacked him. He wrestled and killed him. The mountain lion.
Yeah.
The
wow.
mountain lion lost. Here yeah. we go. Here we go.
And then I was able to pick up a big rock with my left hand, and I was trying to hit it on the head with a big rock, but it was kind of a tough angle because my wrist is still in its mouth. And I'm not really getting a full swing, but I was able to kind of hit it in the back of the head a few times. And I just knew that it wasn't going to be super effective. So then I used just a little bodyweight transition and got my right leg close to my wrist and was able to finally get it onto the cat's neck. And then I stepped on its neck and then eventually was able to suffocate it.
He wins everything.
Every cocktail party, every yep. bar he yeah. ever walks yeah. into, nobody can ever
yeah.
beat
hey,
his story.
Hey, man, I bench lifted 200 pounds today. I bench pressed 200 pounds. What'd you do? I strangled a mountain lion to death. Here's your forecast.
In these overnight hours, we're going to be watching some winter weather advance from the west toward the east, affecting the states of Montana, especially eastern Montana, western South Dakota, Nebraska, and northern Oklahoma. For that area just around I-70 from Kansas City to the Colorado border throughout the state of Kansas, look for the potential for some icing. Up through Montana, look for that system to be mainly all snow, affecting portions of I-80 throughout the state of Nebraska. This is all attributed to another large pool of Arctic air making its way southward. For Dallas, today's high will be 74, but by Sunday, the high just 57. So that cold air advancing southward for the next several days. Look for rain on the PA Turnpike around Altoona to Pittsburgh. Lake effect snow from Cleveland to Buffalo. Rains will continue on the West Coast from the midpoint of the Golden State through Seattle. There's a look at your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thank you, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Bonus show.
And it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Thank you so much for being here. It was interesting. I was just told you I was just going through some different websites, and I was getting through Fox, the front page. I saw that Dershowitz said the same thing that we have basically said, that
right.
What Andrew McCabe and the part of the interview that has come out that he's going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday. That them discussing what they were discussing they were discussing a coup d'etat because
right.
there was no crime. They had
right.
no crime. You read the transcript of him. I had a troubling conversation with the president, and we had to make sure that we hid. We had to make sure that we kept the evidence. What evidence?
What
there
evidence
is no
are you talking
evidence.
About? What are you talking about?
Everything in every single case like this comes down to evidence. And I will tell you again that, and I know people are getting sick of us repeating this for 2 years, but it's very important when the accusations keep coming.
Right.
We still don't have an accusation of a crime.
No, we don't. No. And that's exactly what I would ask if he were sitting in front of me, Mr. McCabe, evidence of what? Of what crime? Because you very quickly get to the motivation of the individual. And it's just, I'll tell you, it's just bizarre how they are bragging about this kind of behavior. And they don't see it as wrongdoing. This, by the way, that is one more sign, if you needed one, to indicate clearly, I believe, that at the highest levels of the FBI and at to some degree in the Justice Department altogether, they believed they were above the law. They believed that they could make it up as they went along. They believed that their job wasn't to serve the law or serve this nation. It was to serve a cause.
I want to read this part. I don't actually have the audio. Just Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz on Thursday said the Department of Justice's discussions to employ the 25th Amendment to oust President Trump, if true, amounted to a coup. Now, it's interesting here because we know this point, but we haven't brought this point up. We've simply looked at it and said, excuse me, you had no evidence of a crime to begin with. Then
right.
if there was evidence of a crime. You don't bring that. You don't. The 25th Amendment isn't evoked for that. Why would you use that? That's
right.
the thing to begin with. He
right.
goes, he was on Tucker Carlson, and he said evoking the 25th Amendment would be a fundamental misuse of its original purpose. It was originally about Woodrow Wilson having a stroke. It's about the president being shot and not being able to perform his office. Dershowitz said that any Department of Justice official who discussed the 25th Amendment in the context of ousting the president, quote, has committed a grievous offense against the Constitution, end of quote. Dershowitz further argued that using the 25th Amendment to circumvent the impeachment process or an election is a despicable act of unconstitutional power grabbing. And so when you put it together, remember, these are the highest minds in law enforcement who are trained to do what? To look for evidence of a crime. To this day, they can't tell you what the crime was. What was the evidence to be discussing this to begin with? And why were you discussing it in discussing it and using the 25th Amendment as a possible way to solve what you perceived as a problem instead of going through the impeachment process?
Right.
The only reason was you wanted a coup. You didn't think you could win Congress, so you wanted to come up. You were trying to finagle some kind of way. This shows you the bias inside of the FBI and the Department of Justice. They were trying to figure out. They were
scrambling, desperately scrambling.
They were desperately scrambling to find a way. They were so upset that President Trump was president of the United States and Hillary didn't win, that they were trying to find any way. In fact, saying, well, we needed to make sure that the evidence that we had, and as you and I have said, evidence of what? Of what?
What crime?
Tell us what the evidence is. Look, you're gone now. You're fired. Tell us what the evidence is. It's not top secret. You're not going to lose. You're not going to go to jail for revealing top secret material. If you had evidence, bring out the evidence. And if you had evidence, you would have leaked it already because you've already leaked.
That's right.
And if you had evidence that the president did something that was, number one, worthy of impeachment, you would have done it. The reason that you were thinking of the 25th Amendment was because you were trying to finesse. Think about this, Eric. This just shows you how. I'm emotional here, but this shows you how emotionally deranged they were.
Yes.
Think about this. These are the top members of law enforcement, not acting as investigators, not acting as critical thinkers looking to see where crimes were actually committed. These were politicians who were emotionally deranged. And so they were all having discussions at the highest level of law enforcement in this country about using the 25th Amendment against the president where it doesn't even apply, for doing something that they can't even explain and still can't explain what he did to deserve being removed from office from the 25th Amendment.
Right, right. Well, if you ask yourself this, if a group of individuals that's been, and I'm just putting this scenario out there, if they themselves know that they have been acting outside of the law. Because if you think about, all right, let's go over the possibilities. You hire, through Perkins Coie, you hire Fusion GPS, and then they hire Christopher Steele to go get the dossier. It's at that point, just giving them the slightest benefit of the doubt, it's only going to be political opposition. You're only going to use it to discredit him, to make him look bad. Then, oh my gosh, there's a chance he can win. And just in case, this will be our little, I'm sorry, let me pull these words out of complete thin air, insurance policy. We will get something together to make sure that he's not going to become president. And if he does, he won't be president for long.
Well, then all of a sudden, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't get him with the FISA warrant. There
right.
was nothing there.
There was nothing there.
We tried to do it. We tried to discredit him.
Right.
We tried to do everything to get him out of office, and to the point where we were so desperate to get him out of office that we decided to have a discussion on the complete perversion of the 25th Amendment, because maybe we can convince and just keep the rhetoric going to such a degree where we can get, think about how deranged this is, that we can get his cabinet to remove him from office for something that we don't even have a specific allegation of wrongdoing. Think about how mentally deranged. And McCabe is out promoting this as if it's a good thing.
Yes.
Now, here's one more thing I want to, before we get out of here, because I thought this was interesting. You know, Dershowitz and others have said, if what McCabe is saying is accurate, if McCabe is telling the truth, here's an interesting question. Why would he lie? I've got to bring that up because everybody's saying, well, if what he's saying. Now, we know that he will already lie, but they keep bringing that up. You know, if it's accurate, if he's telling the truth, well, why would he be lying? If he is the whole book a lie? Is his whole appearance on 60 Minutes a lie? And if it is, why would he do that? Who is he trying? Who is he trying to throw onto the bus? What is his end game?
Or is he spinning it to the extent that because he knows what might be coming at him? And that was to finish my thought from earlier. If you were involved in a set of wrongdoings, and all of a sudden that entire everything you did, that entire effort fails, he becomes president. Then you realize this could get back to us. This could come back around to us. You would be desperate to remove him from office. You would be desperate to discredit him because you know that at some point the truth is going to see the light of day and it's going to shed a lot of light on you and what you have done.
No, that's totally legit. If you're looking for possible motivation, if you're in the investigative mode, because it makes no sense. Why would you try to, I mean, either it's a completely, thank you so much for bringing that up, either it's a completely deranged emotional mind with such hatred for Trump, or it's an extremely calculated, last desperate act to try to find some way to get rid of the president because you know your hands are dirty and the only person, if he stays in office, who could eventually catch you doing something dirty is the president and his allies.
Right. And because if you get the president removed from office, sorry, but Pence isn't going to last much longer. He's tainted guilt by association, and that's enough. Because if he wasn't Trump wasn't there legitimately, Pence wasn't there legitimately.
Or if they weren't targeting Pence, they figured he was far enough away where he couldn't eventually come after them. But it actually wasn't about getting rid of Trump because he's president.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the fact of getting rid of Trump because he is the only person.
Yes.
As he right now, when we talk about it, he is the only person that has the ability to declassify information.
That's right.
Now, they didn't know that at the point in 2017.
Right.
But is that what they were thinking? That we've got to get rid of this guy and we've got to come up with any type of harebrained thing because he is the only one who could eventually catch us for what we were doing.
Go back and look at that interview or that segment that featured Evelyn Farkas and what she talked about. Getting all of this out to the people, our friends on the Hill. Why do you do that? You're trying to build a consensus against the president and the incoming administration.
You were trying to make the rumors and the rhetoric so...
Yes.
Think about this.
Yes.
Think this lasted, I don't know, in the history of the country. You tell me something, the rumor and the accusations that have continued for 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
going on 2.5 years, that still today people believe and nobody can even tell you. I don't know any case ever where the rumors and accusations have continued where there's never been able to connect one dot.
Not one.
Not one dot. And they still keep pushing it. And so you have to ask, was that the initial goal? Was the initial goal, let's create? And they actually look at this and say, wow, we almost succeeded. We were able to create such an aura where we might have been able to get the president impeached. Democrats were so... crazed or whatever. They're still talking about impeachment. Look at some of these articles of impeachment. You can't find any crime at all. It's just they dislike Trump.
Right.
And if we can create this kind of hatred for this guy.
Or capitalize out there. If we're trying to save our backsides because we know we've done something wrong and he could expose us, we capitalize on the hatred that already exists for him and we fuel it even further.
Well, thank you, Democrats. You've actually turned us. We had the one caller before going, you guys are, you're always the voice of reason. And wow, you've just put out this scenario that sounds like a bizarre conspiracy theory, does it not?
It does.
The only thing is, we didn't create it. We're simply telling you the news.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex,
the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair cost. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So when you look at that, I guess my question would be this, Eric. You know, people sit there and they say, well, the president scares you. And I'm like, why? You know what really scares me? Forget about what wrongdoing they did. Think about whether it's McCabe or Comey or, you know, Peter Strzok. Or Rosenstein, now that we know that he's saying that it was legit, the whole, you know, let's wire him to go talk to the president. Well, wait a minute. This is after he fired Comey. Well, you're the one that told him to fire Comey, which sounds like a setup here. But just the way that they appear in the media, just their mindset, I can't believe that people that think like they do got to the highest level of law enforcement in this country. You want scary?
Yeah,
that's scary.
That's beyond disturbing. That's beyond disturbing. We're going to be out Sunday night, Monday morning for President's Day. Going to have a three-day weekend. We hope everybody has a safe and happy three-day weekend. We're back live Monday night, Tuesday morning with all the latest on the McCabe interview, on the wall, and all the craziness from the weekend.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.